Well, thanks for joining me, teachers. We're going to be launching off now into a series of discussions about our mission statement for student ministries here at Covenant. And I want to thank you for joining me, and I'm going to jump right in to this first part of discussing our mission statement. So why do student ministries exist? What's our mission? Let me read that to you. Student ministries at Covenant Presbyterian Church exist to nurture and commission students who love God, who love His church, and who love their generation. Nurture and commission students who love God, who love His church, and who love their generation. I want to start unpacking that statement here now in this first audio segment. What does it mean to nurture? Why do we choose that word? Well, just very briefly, you know, the word nurturing is a family term. Parents nurture their children. Paul says that, actually. Paul says, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture of the Lord. So Paul's addressing parents, and he says, bring your children up in the nurturing ways of the Lord. And what does that mean? Well, what he means is bring your children up the same way God has brought you up. When he says the nurturing of the Lord, he means the nurturing ways of the Lord. So all throughout Scripture, God portrays himself as our Father. Jesus taught us to pray our Father. The psalmist says that as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on his own. And so God is a father. He provides for us. He cares for us. He protects us. He teaches us. He trains us. He educates us. He disciplines us. So all of that is the way that he nurtures us. But the big point in the word nurturing is the fact that it takes a long time. It's a family term. Parents, you take years and years and years to nurture and bring up your children. And at different ages, you teach them different things. And at different ages, you discipline them in different ways. But it's all nurturing. It takes a long time. It's a dedication. And that's why we use the word nurturing when we're talking about our student ministries. Because you know, as well as I do, that this takes a long time. We don't nurture our children in the ways of the Lord in a short amount of time. God has dedicated himself to us for our lifetime. And we're dedicated to the lives of our students. For as long as they're with us, we're dedicated to them. We're nurturing them. So here's what this might look like. Your children, your students, they come into your classroom. If it's a Sunday school, maybe it's a Wednesday night ministry. Maybe it's a youth ministry where they're gathered around in a circle or around a table and you're doing some studying. Like nurturing the students doesn't just look like straight up, I'm going to give you right what the curriculum says, and then I'm done. No, it's a communion of saints word. It's a word of life on life. It's a word where I know you, and you get to know me. Yes, I'm going to teach you the gospel. Absolutely, that is that. You know, we're going to talk about that a little bit later when we talk about the students. What our students look like. What we're praying for. What are some of our goals and methods? But when we talk about nurturing, we're talking also about just getting to know them. Paul says, adorn the gospel by your lifestyle. So we have one gospel that we teach, but we point to that gospel. We highlight that gospel. We put ornaments on that gospel. We draw attention to the gospel. We adorn it. We decorate it by the way that we live. And so this word nurturing looks like sitting down at the table with your students and asking them, how their day went, how their week went, how's school going? I'm sorry you weren't here last week. Were you sick? If they miss a couple of weeks, you send them a letter. You get to know their names. You know their parents' names. You might find out what school they're going to. That the word nurture is life on life. I'm getting to know you. We want to nurture our students. That's the first word. Here's the second word. We nurture and commission our students. And this will be very short, this word commission, but just always keeping an eye to the fact that at the end of this hour, at the end of this lesson, today my students are leaving me. They're going to go back to their locker rooms at school. They're going to go back to the tables of their classrooms. They're going back to their homes. They're going back to the soccer field. They're going back to the basketball court. They're going back to the baseball field. That's where they're going. They're not just going to be sitting around my table. They have to go out of here. And we're teaching them, preparing them with the gospel, feeding them with the gospel, letting them know that their identity is in Christ and in His church, in His people, because we nurture them. We accept them. Come in. You're welcome here. Come on in. Yes, come, come. This is your family. This is your church family. You're welcomed here. You're nurtured. And so when they go out, they're not identifying themselves primarily as a soccer player or primarily as an actor or an actress on the stage, or primarily as someone who gets B's and C's in school. That's not how they're identifying themselves. We want them, when they're out in the world, when they are commissioned out, when they leave and they go out, we want them to know that your identity is in Christ and His church, His people, the communion of the saints. You belong here. But we can't forget that they are going out. We're commissioning them. But even as a big picture, you know, the big picture idea of commissioning is that they are really ultimately going somewhere. That our children, our students, most of them leave. They grow up and they go to college, they get married, or they grow up, they go to college, they get a job, or they just go right into a job, or they go right into the military, and oftentimes they leave us. And we're keeping an eye to that commissioning as well, that we want to prepare them to be sent out as they go out to be a blessing in their places of work, to be a blessing in their college classrooms, to be a blessing as a father, be a blessing as a mother, be blessing as a wife, be blessing as a husband, be blessing as a roommate, to be a blessing as a coworker. We know that we're commissioning them. We're sending them out. We exist to nurture and commission students. Let me talk about that last word, students, there, and then we'll be done with this audio segment. Our students exist. We have three categories of students. We have our We Covenant, and that's all of our students from birth to 3 years old. When they turn 4 years old, they enter into our Covenant Kids ministry, which is K-4 all the way through fifth grade. And then when they leave fifth grade and they enter into middle school and high school, that ministry is called 153 Untorn. And so all of our students are somewhere in one of those portions of our ministry, but those are our students. Those are our students. Let me end by talking about the accommodation principle. And I know that sounds really deep, but I'm going to make it very simple. If someone accommodates your dietary concerns, they make a meal and they make it in a way that you can digest it. If someone accommodates your broken arm, then they're setting up your work environment so that you can work, still accomplish your work though your arm is broken. If someone accommodates, if an astrophysicist comes in to do a lecture, he needs to accommodate his audience because he's got such a brilliant amount of information. If he wants anyone to understand, he's got to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. Well, that's what we do with our students. We want to teach them. We want to accommodate their age. And that's student ministries is all about the accommodation principle. Accommodating our students, putting the cookies on the bottom shelf for them to eat. We're putting the gospel on their level. We're putting it in their language. And the real basis for this is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Has He not accommodated us? Has He not become a man as we are men and women? Did He not speak our language? When He told stories, when He taught about the gospel, what did He do? He said, look at the farmer. Think about the field. Look at the man fishing. Look at that flower. Look at that tree. The kingdom of heaven is like these things. He accommodated us. Jesus spoke our language. He became a man. He accommodated us. And his death and his resurrection are the ultimate accommodation. It's ultimately, he became a man because we're sinners. He took upon himself our sin. He rose from the dead so that our bodies would be raised from the dead. He has accommodated himself to us. In his teaching, he accommodated his audience. And so I want to remind you as teachers and leaders in our student ministries that you are accommodating yourself, you're accommodating your vocabulary, you're teaching stories and illustrations in a way that whatever age group you're teaching, K-4, 3rd grade, 8th grade, 12th grade, that those students understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. We exist to nurture and commission students. I'm going to end right there. This will be the end of our first audio segment on our mission statement. So thanks for joining me, and please, we've got a few more to go. I want you to stick in there. I hope these are very helpful. All right, thanks. See you. Bye.